And we'll proceed to the next case, FedEx Freight versus the NLRB. Mr. Blue.
May it please the court, I'm Zan Blue of Nashville, Tennessee, here representing FedEx Freight East. FedEx Freight East is here today to ask the court to review and reject an order of the NLRB for three reasons. First, the board ignored admitted dishonesty on the part of the charging party. The board rejected the credibility findings of the administrative law judge without explanation. The board ignored unrefuted evidence that was not discredited in any way that all employees who engage in any act of dishonesty are terminated. We respectfully submit under this court's decision in Weathershield versus NLRB, this order cannot stand. First, the board rejected the ALJ's finding that the charging party, and I quote from the ALJ's opinion, at least had the appearance of being untruthful when being interviewed by Mr. Holrob with respect to his whereabouts on April 30 of 2002. Further, Mr. Grass actually admitted on the witness stand in his testimony that his explanations were irreconcilably inconsistent. The board nonetheless went on to find, while rejecting the ALJ's conclusions, that Mr. Grass credibly explained away the inconsistencies. This finding is even more inexplicable in view of the ALJ's finding that Mr. Grass testified untruthfully in an affidavit given to the general counsel concerning a threat of plant closure, and the ALJ expressly discredited Mr. Grass's testimony that he forgot about the threat of plant closure while he testified on the witness stand. Thus, under this court's ruling in Weathershield, the board's conclusions are subject to special scrutiny rather than review merely upon the substantial evidence test. Grass admitted that he never went to a particular customer on April the 30th, and yet his explanation says he was there four times. His records show that he was in two places at the same time. Again, on the witness stand, he admitted that his testimony was irreconcilably inconsistent and his explanations were the same.
Well, of course, there was other evidence they considered, like the fact that the company represented that there were two companies that didn't receive deliveries on the 30th and testified that those companies filed a complaint. That wasn't true, was it?
We don't know, Your Honor. I cannot explain the
inconsistency. Right. There was no evidence presented to the contrary.
That is, Your Honor, the testimony.
So that was one thing the court had.
Well, that testimony, Your Honor, on the part of those witnesses went to the ALJ's fruit of the poisonous tree analysis, and the ALJ used that testimony to find that the investigation began because of Mr. Grass' prior union activities. The ALJ went on to find that any fruit of that investigation, therefore, was tainted.
Yeah, I understand that the board didn't adopt that rationale of the fruit of the poisonous tree. Nonetheless, the board did deal with some other facts that you haven't discussed, like this situation with the company.
Yes, Your Honor.
And is it your position that the board shouldn't have made its determination based on circumstantial evidence, because admittedly this was pretty much circumstantial evidence trying to establish anti-union bias?
It is our position that the board improperly concluded anti-union bias was established. Quite frankly, we recognize that as an argument based largely on fact, and we are here today to focus primarily on the law. We do acknowledge Your Honor's position is correct. Again, the administrative law judge found that Mr. Grass's explanations were replete with errors and palpable inconsistencies, and that he appeared to have been untruthful. Cause is universally recognized to be found where dishonesty takes place in the workplace. Dishonesty is recognized in every forum as cause for termination. Here, the company presented evidence in the form of Respondents 15 and the testimony of Mr. Stuart Baxter, which evidence was unrefuted and not discredited at any time, that all persons who engage in acts of dishonesty are terminated, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of any other factors which might be found. There's nothing to contradict that evidence in any way.
Well, there was testimony that the employees that had been fired for dishonesty, those were employees who had actively engaged in fraud where there was a direct monetary loss either to FedEx or the company. Right. We didn't have there was no situation similar to this where someone had misrepresented the number of stops he made somewhere or that kind of thing. There was some evidence with respect to selling laptops or falsifying records to overcharge customers. Those kinds of employees had been fired.
There was testimony that those kinds of employees had been fired. The testimony did not show that only those kind of employees had been fired.
But there was no testimony indicating that employees that had misrepresented what he is alleged to have misrepresented were fired.
No, ma'am, you're correct. Mr. Baxter's testimony was that anyone who engages in any act of dishonesty, no matter how small, I believe were his exact words, will be fired under the company's policies without any progressive discipline, without any second chances, and without any exceptions. I believe his testimony specifically was dishonest acts, no matter how small. Third, the board rejected the ALJ's implied credibility finding that Art Holrod testified truthfully when he said the dishonest acts were the basis for the termination. The ALJ implicitly accepted that testimony by, frankly, not rejecting it and moving immediately past that testimony to the fruit of the poisonous tree. The board did not deal with that. The ALJ, frankly, glossed over it. When you look at these pieces of evidence, what you find is that the evidence establishes clearly that Mr. Grass engaged in acts of dishonesty during the explanation given to Mr. Holrod of his whereabouts. The ALJ went on to support that by finding that he misrepresented the circumstances in his second affidavit to the general counsel, and he misrepresented the facts while sitting on the witness stand concerning his plant closure allegation. This court is called upon by case law, Weathershield, and the Supreme Court decision in Universal Camera to evaluate all the evidence to determine whether substantial evidence supports the decision of the board, including, as Universal Camera says, that body of evidence opposed to the board's view. Further, under Weathershield, as Judge Flom noted in that opinion, the board's decision is subject to special scrutiny under the circumstances of this case. We respectfully submit to you that the board's order cannot stand. The uncontroverted evidence establishes that Mr. Grass engaged in acts of dishonesty. The uncontroverted and unrefuted evidence states that all persons who engage in dishonest acts, no matter how small, will be terminated by the company. There's no evidence that's been submitted contradicting the testimony provided by Mr. Baxter, and his testimony has not been discredited. With respect, if I may reserve the balance of my time.
Indeed, Mr. Blue, thank you. Ms. Isbell?
May it please the court. My name is Kelly Isbell. I represent the National Labor Relations Board. The company claims that Tommy Grass was fired for lying. But the board found that the reasons the company gave for his discharge were false and pretextual. The issue in this case is whether substantial evidence supports the board's finding. We submit that it does, and note that the board is not compelled to accept the company's affirmative defense. And in fact, it couldn't, because the company's explanations just don't add up. The company based its firing of Mr. Grass on three minor discrepancies in his paperwork on April 30th. The first is some freight that wasn't delivered. But as Grass noted and was credited in his testimony by the ALJ, he was told when he didn't deliver that freight to check a particular box on his return authorization form. That's the basis for the company saying he was dishonest to them, checking the box as told by his dispatcher. three other drivers testified that they were also told to check this particular box, and that in fact it was company policy to check that box, and that that didn't count as falsification of company documents when you check that particular box closed before 3 p.m. There was also a missing hour in Grass's day on April 30th. And if you read through Grass's written testimony or written statements that he had given to manager Holraw on May 2nd when he was interviewed, the first question Mr. Grass was asked was, tell me what happened on April 30th. Mr. Holraw testified that the whole basis for the investigation were customer complaints, and he wanted to find out why some freight wasn't delivered. But the first question asked of Mr. Grass wasn't, why didn't you deliver freight to Adiron and Fisher Services? The first question was, tell me what happened on April 30th. And Mr. Grass gave his statement. The remainder of those statements, statements 2 through 6, were answers Mr. Grass gave to very particular questions posed to him by Mr. Holraw. Tell me why you were at Petco twice. The fact that he answered that question about Petco in a statement below and didn't answer it in the first statement was because he was asked a very specific question in a later, when he was asked to make a later statement. Mr. Grass testified that there was an hour he was at Thomas Dodge trying to pick up something that wasn't ready. He had forgotten about it. As you'll note, on April 30th, his trailer was loaded late and it was loaded backwards. So he ran his route in reverse. On May 1st, he ran the same route but ran it in the correct order. So in his mind, when he was giving statements, he was a little bit confused. He remembered after his interview with Mr. Holraw where he had been, and he had been at Thomas Dodge. He actually went to Thomas Dodge to get a statement that he had been there, but Mr. Holraw told him that wouldn't help him. There's no evidence that Mr. Grass was trying to deceive the company at all. In fact, he was going to customers and trying to show the company where he was during his day. The third discrepancy is a lunch hour. FedEx Freight must be the only company in the United States that wants to fire workers for working for free on their lunch hour. Mr. Grass testified that he had used the last 6 minutes of his unpaid lunch hour to make a delivery because he was so busy. And the fact that he showed on a delivery receipt that he was at a company making a delivery and showed on his lunch receipt that he was actually taking lunch is now used as evidence against him. In reply brief, the company notes the credibility findings are not being contested here. So the ALJ's credibility findings must stand. The ALJ and the board credited Mr. Grass that he was told to check certain boxes on his return authorization forms, that he was actually at Thomas Dodge when he said he was, and that he was taking lunch and then providing 6 free minutes for the company making a delivery. I should note that the fact that Mr. Grass testified to a threat of plant closure on the stand and that that testimony was rejected by the ALJ does not mean that the ALJ must reject all of his testimony. ALJs are free to believe part or all of a witness's testimony, and they're not required to believe everything a witness says. This is standard board procedure. And the fact that he believed some and not all of Mr. Grass's testimony just shows that the ALJ was not being biased during the hearing. Respondents Exhibit 15 and Mr. Baxter's testimony. As was discussed, none of those examples are examples of drivers being dismissed for falsifying records. General Counsel's exhibit, I believe it's in the appendix on page 611, shows a verbal warning given to a driver in Mr. Grass's situation because he didn't fill out his lunch paperwork correctly. He wasn't fired. And he wasn't given a written warning. He was given a verbal warning for the same infraction Mr. Grass allegedly had. The board's findings show that he was fired for his union activity, not because of these instances of falsification or lying. That's what the board found. There any questions?
Apparently not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Isbell. Mr. Blue.
Your Honor, with respect to one comment, I certainly hope FedEx isn't the only company that terminates employees for working for free on their lunch hour. That would be a violation of the Fair Labor Standards Act. The administrative law judge found that Mr. Grass,
quote, at least had the appearance of untruthfulness, close quote, during the company's investigation. I must respectfully disagree with counsel for the general counsel. The termination did not take place because of three minor discrepancies in paperwork. The termination took place because of dishonesty during the course of the company's investigation. Termination took place because Mr. Grass, to quote the ALJ, at least had the appearance of untruthfulness during his conversations with Mr. Holraw when Mr. Holraw was attempting to carry forward one of his prime mandates, and that was to reduce the number of returns and the time spent doing so.
But at this level, we're not supposed to pick and choose which version we believe. We just have to determine whether there's substantial evidence to support the finding, correct?
Using the special scrutiny test set forward in Weathershield, yes, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Blue, and thank you, Ms. Esbell. The case is taken under advisement.